Well, it's a joy to be able to take God's Word and open it up for you this morning. Heart feels very full after the singing of really God's truth through songs this morning and through a week of study, not only of this morning's message, but what we're going to be looking at for Good Friday and Easter has done my heart well. We'll be considering on Good Friday one of Jesus' sayings on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And to remember what Christ took in our place has just been a joy to be studying in advance for Good Friday. And then on Easter, we're going to be looking at a psalm that talks about the King in all his beauty and majesty as he stands in heaven today. And so my heart is full to share those messages with you this week, and then particularly the message that we have before us this morning as we're going to take another step in our brief topical series on the issue of Christian assurance, specifically on how you and I are to aim for greater spiritual assurance in our own Christian lives. Assurance of salvation is something that all of us should desire, and it's something that God desires all of us to have. 1 John 2:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, assurance of salvation is not something, contrary to what some people teach, it's not something that you have to wait to heaven to see if you have. You can know right now that you have assurance of salvation based on what Scripture tells us. And so we've been exploring that. How do we aim for greater assurance in our own Christian lives? Where do we look? See, God wants us to move past just a tentative, well, I hope that I'll have eternal life. He wants us to know that we have it already. That is remarkably encouraging because, listen, assurance is something that we can have right now, not merely hope for in the hereafter. We can know that we have eternal life. But the question is how? How can we come to a greater assurance of our salvation? Well, there are four main ways explicitly stated in Scripture that God uses to impart to the souls of believer a greater assurance of their salvation. I've broken them down into two main categories for our study as a church. We have sources of assurance, and then we have supports of assurance. Sources and supports. And there are two under each one of those categories. The two sources of assurance are the performance of Christ and the promises of God. And then the two supports of assurance are the affirmation of the Spirit and the obedience of the faith. And by the way, one of those categories, I want to make it very clear this morning, is more important than the other. While we can look at the affirmation of the Spirit, and we can look at the obedience of the faith in our lives as supports for our Christian assurance, which is helpful, and we're going to start doing that this morning, we need to live in the performance of Christ and the promises of God as the source of our assurance. Because that's where our true assurance always lies. It's never in ourselves. It's always on the performance of Jesus and on the promises of God. So first, our source of assurance is the performance of Christ. And I want to remind you of this because this is why we're here this morning at a church worshiping God. Hebrews 10:19-23 tells us that we can have confidence to enter into the holy places, that we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, that we can hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. In other words, you and I can have assurance. How? Verses 19-20. By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He has opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. We can have a full assurance of faith when we look, not at our performance, but on Christ's performance on our behalf. He lived the perfect life beneath God's law that you and I have never lived. He died the perfect death beneath God's wrath that you and I could never die. And He won the perfect victory beneath God's favor that you and I could never win. And because of that, sinners like you and I can now receive, through faith in His perfect work, on our behalf. We can receive the gift of righteousness, forgiveness, and eternal life. In Christ alone, we can receive it freely, unearned, as a gift. As 1 Corinthians 1:30 states, Christ has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in who? The Lord. The Lord. And so if we want to aim for greater assurance in our lives, then it all begins here by looking to Jesus. Look to the one who achieved righteousness on your behalf, sinner. Look to the one who paid for forgiveness on your behalf, sinner. And look to the one who made a victory on your behalf, sinner. Look to Christ, not to yourself. For he is, as Hebrews 6:19 says, the sure and steadfast anchor for our souls. Anchor yourself in Christ. And so the first source of assurance for a believer is the performance of Christ. The second source of assurance, which we looked at last time in our study, are the promises of God. Hebrews 6:17 through 18, I want to remind you, tells us that when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, that is his saving purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible with God to lie, those are his word and his character, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. See, God's unfailing commitments and his underlying character is to be the source of our assurance as believers. God has promised that everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ for their salvation will be accepted, and no one who relies on his perfect work on their behalf will ever be abandoned. And that includes you. You can cast yourself upon the whoever and the everyone promises of God's word, because whoever and everyone includes you. God, the God who has made these promises, is faithful, able, and desirous to fulfill them. And so we can trust in him. And so as we aim for greater assurance in our lives, you and I should live in the performance of Christ and in the promises of God as the great source of our assurance. But we're not done yet. For you see, God has not only given us two sources of assurance, he's also given us two supports for our assurance as well. Two aids that can help us in our assurance as we go throughout our everyday lives. And those two sources of assurance, or supports our assurance, are the affirmation of the Spirit and the obedience of the faith. We'll look at the first one of those this morning, which is the affirmation of the Spirit. So when it comes to aiming for greater assurance in our lives, God has not left us with nothing. He has given us two sources that we are to live to, and he has given us two supports that we can look towards: the affirmation of the Spirit and the obedience of the faith. But before I go any further, we are in desperate need for God to help us understand his word. And so let's approach him this morning and ask for his help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to study it this morning without fear of persecution. But Father, what we fear is distraction. What we fear is selfishness. What we fear is anger and pride. And so Father, we pray that you would humble us beneath your mighty hand so that you might exalt us. Help us to understand the hope that is set before us in Christ Jesus, and help us to grow in our assurance so that others might see in us a confident hope of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Help us to understand your word this morning. Give us wisdom to understand your word so that we would respond to it rightly and that we would live the lives of confidence and courage that we need to in this world. Father, we in advance thank you so much for what Christ has done on our behalf and how the Spirit applies it to our lives. May he do that work this morning in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I just stated, we aim for greater assurance in our Christian lives. Being lacking assurance is not desirous. It's not fun. And so God in his great goodness not only gives us two sources of assurance that we can live in, he also gives us two supports of assurance that we can look to occasionally. And that's the main difference that I want to clearly communicate in our study between the sources and supports of assurance. They should not be handled in the same ways. Please hear me on this. the sources of assurance you should turn to all the time. You can't look at the performance of Christ or the promises of God too often or too much. We should live in that. That should be the environment of our lives. But the supports of assurance that we're about to look at in a moment should only be turned to some of the time. They're only helpful, let me put it this way, when used in moderation. When I was thinking of a good example, I was thinking, this is a lot like a bathroom scale. So it's a good thing to look at your weight every once in a while. But if you look at it all the time, it's unhealthy and it's unhelpful because your weight fluctuates constantly. It goes up and down all the time, even just within 24 hours. At least that's my excuse. I always say that I came to the scale at the wrong time, right? But in all seriousness, when it comes to the bathroom scale, it's not about what your weight is like every single second of the day. It's about the trajectory of your weight, right? Is it going in the right direction? Is it going in a healthy direction? Is it going in the correct direction, the direction it needs to go in? That's how we are to handle the two supports for assurance that we're about to look at beginning this morning. They're only helpful when we look at them occasionally to catch a sense of the trajectory of our lives, whether they are moving in a good, in a right, in a healthy direction or not. But it is not something to be looked at all of the time. That's reserved for the performance of Christ and the promises of God. In fact, these two supports for assurance are only helpful when they rightly direct us back to the two sources of assurance that we've been given, that we're to be continually living in. And I hope to demonstrate that for you, even in the message this morning for all of you today. So, without further ado, when it comes to considering the supports of assurance, the first tool that God has given us in helping us in our assurance and catch a glimpse of the overall trajectory of our lives, the first tool God has given us is the affirmation of the Spirit. You see, one of the glorious truths of being born again and made alive together in Christ Jesus is that we are never alone. The moment that we, by God's grace, put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are in that moment, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. God Himself takes up residence within us. He becomes Emmanuel, God with us. And that is an astonishing thing. As Paul says in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, in Him, that is in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Now I want you to notice there from that passage, according to that verse, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? You received the Holy Spirit, this passage says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him. You see, there's no such thing as someone who is saved who doesn't possess the Holy Spirit. This is important because this builds up to an actual great confidence you and I can have as followers of Jesus Christ. The moment you believed in Jesus, you were, Paul says, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, God put His stamp of ownership upon you, and He made you His permanent possession. The moment He took up residence within you and gave you Himself. The presence of the Holy Spirit is, as Paul says here, the guarantee of our salvation. And it is the guarantee because, listen, oh, please listen to this. Once the Holy Spirit comes to indwell a believer, He never, ever departs. Jesus Himself promised this in John 14, 16, when He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, one who will be with you, how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth. This is one of the reasons why we know that someone who is genuinely saved can never lose their salvation. Because once the Holy Spirit comes and indwells someone, He stays with them. How long? Forever. Forever. You can't have the Holy Spirit and then somehow lose Him. Once He has you, He has you forever. just like we saw last week, always accepted, never abandoned. So God, the Holy Spirit, comes and takes up permanent residence in the hearts of all of His children, and once present within us, He plays an important part in developing our spiritual assurance. Paul makes this clear in Romans 8:16 when he writes these words. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So here we find out an important aspect of the Holy Spirit's present ministry here on earth. Not only does He convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, as we see in John 16, verse 8, but He also convinces the saved of forgiveness, of acceptance, and of salvation. The Spirit joins His voice with ours, Paul says here, to testify and to bear witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. Well, how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, if you were to ignore the entire context of verse 16 and the broader teaching of Scripture in general, you would come up with some pretty crazy ideas of how the Holy Spirit speaks with our spirit that we are children of God. And many people have. Like the Spirit somehow bears witness and affirms our salvation through some still small voice, or through some general impression, or through some elevated, ecstatic, spiritual experience. But that is not what Paul says in this passage at all. There's actually a development of thought, believe it or not, right? There's a development of thought before verse 13, or before verse 16, and it starts back in verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says this: if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. So what is one of the ways that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God? Answer, He leads us to put to death the deeds of the body. Right? He causes us, compels us to kill sin. Satan, newsflash, doesn't want us to kill sin. Right? He wants us to continue in it. And so one of the ways that you and I are aided in knowing that we have indeed been born again is that we are now compelled by the Spirit of the Holy One who dwells in us to actually combat sin, to actually kill it. We can't live with it anymore. It bothers us because the Spirit is within us. And let's be honest, this battle that's being talked about in Romans 8 is not easy, is it? It is hard. It's not pretty. It's bloody. Read Romans 7. It's painful. It's awful. Sometimes it feels like trench warfare, where you're dying just to gain a single inch in your own sanctification and personal holiness and your commitment to Christ. And this is where the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God in a second way. Because those who wouldn't be born again wouldn't keep fighting. And secondly, those who keep fighting surely wouldn't go where Paul says all true believers go in the midst of struggling against sin. Because he says this in verse 15, in the midst of this ugly, dirty battle against sin, Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back or to fall away into sin, into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry what? Abba, Father. And this is good. I mean, this is the second way that the Holy Spirit within us bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God by causing us to cry out, Abba, Father, particularly in the midst of our battles against sin. An unbeliever would never do that, would they? An unbeliever wouldn't feel compelled to draw near to God with his sin because he'd fear punishment. He'd withdraw from God just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. But a believer who's received the spirit of adoption as sons knows exactly where to go with his sin, and that is to his heavenly Father who has already forgiven him of all those sins anyway. That's the type of person who cries out in the midst of the battle for holiness, Abba, Father, help me. Help me. And so you see, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, not, like our culture says, in some magical, mystical, personally subjective way, but in a very, very concrete way. Namely, the Spirit takes His word and He causes us to respond to it in faith. That is how the Spirit bears witness. That is how the Spirit speaks. This is how the Spirit works. It is through His word. As Ephesians 6:14 says, the sword of the Spirit is what? Is what? Oh man, Bible memory verse. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God. And so the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God by taking His word and causing us, even in the darkest of times and moments, to respond to it in various ways, namely faith. Namely faith. By causing us, for example, to hear, backing up in Paul's argument, to hear in Romans 6:11 through 12 and say this, yes, I am indeed dead unto sin and alive unto God. Therefore, in the midst of my battles and struggles, I will not let sin reign in my mortal body. I will put to death the deeds of the body. I will kill it because I believe. Or again, the Holy Spirit will cause us, for example, to hear Romans 7 verse 4 and say, yes, I have indeed died to the law through the body of Christ, and now I belong to another. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, even in the midst of my battles against sin, I will cry out, Abba, Father, because I believe. I mean, this is why we're going to gather on Good Friday and we're going to gather on Sunday for Easter. It's because we hear, God causes us, the Holy Spirit causes us to hear Romans 10:9 and say, yes, I do confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and I do believe that God has caused Him to be risen from the dead, and I am saved. Why? Because I believe. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. This is how the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He works in us through His Word to cause us to believe the performance of Christ and the promises of God. So this is how. It is by taking the Word of God and producing in us greater faith, faith that can only come from Him. And by the way, I should say that this supernatural faith is just one of the ways that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God by producing in us, through His Word, greater love. Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So by producing, to put it this way, by producing supernatural love for God, love for Christ, love for holiness, and love for other believers that didn't exist before, the Holy Spirit begins to affirm our understanding that we are children of God. We see a love that is alien to us starting to come out of us. The Spirit also bears witness with our spirit by producing in us through His Word greater joy and peace. Not only faith and love, but also joy and peace. Paul says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's how we know who belongs to the kingdom of God and who doesn't. And this is how the Holy Spirit affirms their belonging to that kingdom. It is by producing in them a greater and growing supernatural righteousness, joy, and peace. So we have faith, love, joy, peace. These are four ways that the Holy Spirit, through the working of His Word, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's by producing in us greater faith, love, joy, and peace. And by the way, I think there are at least five other ways that the Holy Spirit works in believers to bear witness that they are children of God. Let's think about it. There's love, joy, peace. I'm thinking, what? Yeah, you know where I'm going. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. This is how the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Not through any mystical, magical, subjective way, but through real, concrete transformation of someone's hearts, thoughts, and affections. That's how He affirms that we are children of God. By causing a change that can only be produced by the saving grace of God at work in a person's life. This is how the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, by producing in us through His Word the ninefold fruit of His eternal presence. And as we see his fruit being produced in our lives, right? So as we see the blossoming of greater love, greater joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control within us, as we see that blossoming of transformation take place, that supports our assurance. And it aids us in affirming the truth that we are born again. It shows us what? The trajectory of our life. That it's going in a good and a healthy and a right direction. And so when it comes to the affirmation of the Spirit and supporting our assurance, I just would encourage you, let's not be Eastern mystics, guided by inner impressions and subjective feelings that can't be analyzed by the Word of God. Let's be biblicists. Let's understand that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and understand that the Spirit's work in our lives happens in a biblical way. Let's understand the Spirit's work in our hearts biblically. And know that this great support of assurance, right? This affirmation of the Spirit doesn't operate, by the way, independently from the sources of assurance, but rather in harmony of them. In other words, I don't care what your feelings are, right? So that, oh, I feel pretty good that I'm going to go to heaven. But I'm trusting in Christ's work and my own to get me there. Or I feel pretty sure I'm saved, but you know what? I'm not really sure that when Scripture says that it's, you know, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, period, and there's nothing included with that. I don't really believe that. Well, then I would say your feeling doesn't matter because your source of assurance should be found in the performance of Christ and the promises of God, period. So this affirmation of the Spirit does not operate independently from the sources of assurance, but rather in harmony with them. Indeed, the Spirit works through the sources of assurance. For it is as we as believers turn to the promises of God, and as we turn to the performance of Christ, that the Spirit, through the Word, begins to work within us to produce in us greater faith, love, joy, and peace, and thereby bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And hallelujah for that. So, can I just tell you that if you are struggling with your assurance and you're wondering why the Spirit hasn't been helping you in gaining greater assurance, I would just like to draw you back to, have you been studying the gospel recently and what Christ has done for you? Have you been turning to the promises of God? Or are you expecting some type of assurance to come outside of those means? Because the Spirit's affirmation comes through the performance of Christ and the promises of God. That's how it comes. This is how he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And can I say, hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for that. That our great God, think about this, not only imparts salvation to those who believe, but he also begins to work it out in us so that you and I might see and know and be made more assured. So dear friends, I just want to say this. Because I knew I was going to run out of time this morning. If what I'm describing to you this morning is something completely foreign to your experience, if you know nothing of the faith and the love and the joy and the peace, the change that only the Holy Spirit can bring in your life, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't see any change happening to me spiritually at all whatsoever, then I would encourage you to look to Christ and to his saving promises that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Come with your sins to the Father who is faithful and just and already promised to do what? Forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cry out to him and he will save you. He will save you not only from hell, he will save you from your own sinful life right now. Your own life dominated by the power of sin. Cling to the work of Christ on your behalf and you will be saved just as he promised. He will begin a good work in you and bring it to completion. So if this is something you don't understand, I would encourage you to run to Christ. Run to Christ. Second, if what I've described to you this morning is something that you can see and you can attest to in your life, right? I know that a message like this is going to lead to two things. Conviction on one hand, in which I'm saying, look to Christ. It's also going to lead to encouragement in others, in which I'm also going to say, look to Christ as well. But if you can say that you're seeing something in your life, right? That you can see and attest to that God is indeed working in you and that you are changing and that the life of Christ is becoming more evident in your life and you're not the same person that you were 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that by God's grace there is a transformation, even though it be slow, a transformation taking place in your life. If you can look at this and say, yes, I'm not perfect, but by the grace of God, I can see the trajectory of my life shows the Spirit of God within me. It can't be explained any other way. Then I would say first, be encouraged. Be encouraged. This is the role. This is the job of the Spirit within you. He wants you to be encouraged by this. He wants to transform your life so that you can see and know and be made more assured. And so if you can see this, be encouraged. Delight in that affirmation of the Spirit. But don't live there. Don't live there. Live in the performance of Christ on your behalf and live in the saving promises of God as the unchanging ground and source for your assurance. Because, here's a warning, while our walking in the Spirit will often ebb and flow, the performance of Christ and the promises of God are an unchanging rock. Live in that. Live in that. So be encouraged by the supports of assurance, but live in the sources of assurance and the performance of Christ and the promises of God. Live in that. As I was thinking of the Spirit's affirmation as a support for our assurance during my studies this week, I was reminded of an old 19th century hymn written by Ray Palmer that's called Christ in the Storm. Might not be familiar to you, and so I'd like to finish by reading the conclusion of that hymn now. The hymnist writes, on life's restless heaving wave, when night and storm my sky o'ercast, often you've come to cheer and save, and changed my fear to joy at last. Your voice has bid the tumult cease and soothed my throbbing heart to peace. But ah, too soon my fears return, and dark mistrust disturbs anew. What smothered fires within yet burn? My days of peace, alas, how few. These heart throes, shall they ne'er be past? This striving, shall it forever last? Oh, may that voice which quelled the sea and laid the surging waves to rest speak to my spirit and set me free from passions that disturb my breast. Jesus, I yield me to your will and work, to your work and will, and wait to hear your peace be still. Amen. May the Spirit affirm and bear witness to us of our salvation as we turn to the performance of Christ and the promises of God for our assurance this week, that we might know that we have eternal life. To that end, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word and how it displays to us your glorious work in the lives of those that you have caused to be born again. Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit that applies to us the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that He is the one that works in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. He is the one that caused us to respond in faith and to keep on believing that even as we come to your promises in the performance of Christ, that if we belong to you, the Spirit of adoption is at work within us to cry out, yes, I believe, Abba, Father, help me. And so, Father, I pray that this week as we strive to aim for greater assurance in our lives, help us not to direct our eyes inward. Help us to direct our eyes upward so that we would look to you and call on you to give us hearts of faith by your Spirit to rest in the work of Jesus and in your unchanging word. Give us grace toward this end so that the lost around us would see a confidence and a joy that comes through knowing that Jesus Christ saves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.